Welcome to Fresh Take, where we at Florida Organic Growers speak to food systems experts about topics related to organic and sustainable agriculture, healthy lifestyles, and the environment. To help us continue our programs at FOG, including our podcast, consider becoming a sponsor. For more information on sponsorship, check out our Get Involved page on our website, www.foginfo.org.
Hello, and welcome to our latest episode of Fresh Take. In today's episode, we have the privilege of diving into the work of another leader in the field. Join us as we sit down with Kim Hines, the leadership co-chair of the North American Food Systems Network, also referred to as NAFSN for short, and a driving force behind their innovative programs. Kim brings 38 years of nonprofit experience and is here to introduce us to NAFSN's game-changing tools to help empower food systems practitioners. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thanks, Lana. It's so great to be here.
It's so great to have you, and I'm eager to chat with you today. You and I have known each other for a little while now, and full disclosure, you helped me in my own career journey by shedding light on different opportunities in the food systems field. And I understand that your background is quite diverse in the sense that you have worked all across the country, from Massachusetts to Hawaii, in various fields such as environmental stewardship, mental health care, education, and youth engagement. So I'm wondering, did you always have a plan for your career? And was it your intention to end up in food systems development?
Oh, gosh, no. I am the daughter of an avid gardener, and she tried so hard to get me out there working. No, my background is in journalism and then in philanthropic studies. I was and remained really interested in pro-social movements and institutions and systems that lead to healthier, just more robust lifestyles and livelihoods and communities. And yet I keep finding myself drawn back to food systems and agriculture. When I was in journalism school way back in time, I actually covered the Missouri State Senate when they were debating biofuels. And, that really dates me quite a bit, doesn't it? But I keep being drawn back into agriculture and food systems. And I think it's just a place where I'm going to stay for now.
Was there something that sparked your passion for building community engagement and civil society? Was there something that really made you feel connected to that?
Perhaps we could say it's motherhood. Mm. I would say that's the case when we become these young parents and we recognize, my goodness, the barriers and the dynamics that we're up against in this extractive world. I think for me, it was just natural to try to address them, right, at the same time that we're raising children. So I would say that maybe that was it. It certainly is. It remains my drive today.
That's so humbling. I love that answer, honestly, because it's just many of our listeners are parents, and it's, you know, an understanding that you have almost a responsibility for helping drive the future. That drive to wanting to build a better society is kind of within all of us.
Yeah. And food systems just touches at all of it without us usually even thinking about it, from sitting down at a table for a meal with a family to the purchasing choices that we make, to the larger schematics, right? Relationship building, for example. I often think about how prior to this work, I really would have had a hard time pointing you in the direction of a farmer, for example, and especially a farmer that was growing for my own community. I wouldn't even have understood what that meant. You know, what does it mean? A farmer growing for their community. That's a concept that we don't talk about often enough until we're absolutely faced with the understanding that most farmers are in positions where they don't feel a direct connection between their work and who is being nourished by the food that they're growing.
Right, right. And in speaking of communities, I know, you know, you've lived and traveled in various parts of the country. And I'm wondering, have you seen any common themes throughout these communities that you've lived in and been a part of?
I do find my way to communities of people who are working in innovative spaces. So I'm often drawn to the nonprofit work and find friends and colleagues in the nonprofit sector throughout, you know, throughout the work. So what is the commonality there? I think it's the same. I think that we're all looking at the complexity that is civil society and wondering, whoa, where did we go wrong? And where are the tiny little tweaks and changes that we can make in our own lives and in our work lives to improve? Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you touched on this just a little bit just now, saying that some of the farmers, you know, don't even have, well, they had, there's a disconnect between farmers and consumers. And, you know, there are other challenges that I think some of the food system practitioners face. In other words, people who work in the food system. What are some of the other challenges that you've witnessed in your work? And what do you think is needed in order to address some of those things?
Well, you know, with the North American Food Systems Network, which we'll call NAFSN, NAFSN is very specifically looking at the increasing diversification of the roles of food systems work and food systems development. Mm. And one of the things that I'm mindful of is how invisible so many of these roles are in community. For example, I teach a graduate course for students who are soon to become registered dietitians. And it's surprising to me every year when I teach this course, how few have heard of things like fruit and vegetable prescription programs, for example, doubling SNAP at farmers markets, or new and beginning farmer programs. It's surprising to me how invisible the work of farmland accessibility development is, how invisible the work of creating local and regional markets is. Of course, you know, we know about this because we're steeped in this particular silo. But for me, I regularly am pulled to have these conversations with and among people who aren't already sitting and working in these silos. I think it's so important for us to be talking to people in every industry, the typical ones, right? The healthcare industry, mm-hmm. Public health industry, but even the real atypical ones, the insurance industry. I'd love to have those conversations with folks to just bring more visibility to the work of food systems development.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because I actually had a background in nutrition in college, and my original goal was to become a registered dietitian. And once I kind of looked into it further and, you know, felt inclined to shadow a registered dietitian and understand the ins and outs of that kind of profession, I discovered those exact gaps that you mentioned in terms of not understanding that bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And that's truly what led me to pursue food systems as a whole, as a more holistic topic, and understanding the comprehensive nature of the system and how it's interconnected, like you mentioned, to different aspects of society, even the atypical ones. And it's interesting to me that a lot of times certain professions are so focused on their particular topics that they might neglect to think of some of these outside factors that really weigh heavily on, you know, on overall health and even environmental health.
Absolutely. And those voices have been left out as well, right? So I think of the frontline workers in community health, for example. How often are their voices and their experiences and their work experiences and their lived experiences included in the development of food systems, right? Mm. Not only are we not reaching out of our silo to learn from those groups, but we're also failing to include their voices in the very development work that we aspire to do.
Right. And I understand that NAFSN has a big role in kind of helping with professional development. In your perspective, are there certain trends that you're seeing in community food systems employment? And are those trends helping to inform the work of NAFSN?
Absolutely. So NAFSN is a professional association for food systems folks. That's what, how I like to say it. And specifically, those people who are working to strengthen local and regional food systems. I was one of those people on the ground working in Augusta, Georgia, as the founding executive director of Augusta Locally Grown, where I was right before I transitioned to work with NAFSN. As the executive director of Augusta Locally Grown, I wore many hats. In fact, in times I wore all the hats, as it were, right? From fundraiser to HR person to program development, and you name it, market coordinator. And over time, over the 12 plus years that I was with Augusta Locally Grown, we were able to diversify some of those roles. But it wasn't until the last few years, I would say, that we really started to see a much more of a diversification of those roles as we see municipalities investing in food systems development, more funders investing in food systems development, and dare I say, perhaps the for-profit industry investing in food systems development, or although I would say that that is slow to come about. Nonetheless, as we see these roles diversifying in nature, we also recognize the fact that people with a diversity of skills need to be included in this work. And so reaching into industry to find the best people with those technology skills, for example, those human resources skills, those business development skills, I think is something that I would like to help do. You know, I have eyeballs on dozens of jobs that are posted every day in food systems development work. And that's how you and I connected, Lana, right?
That's true.
We had this ongoing conversation about what are the opportunities out there and how can we make those connections more fruitful for people looking for work. And I think it's not only on those people looking for work, but it's also the responsibility lays at the foot of those people looking for candidates for the work, looking beyond, again, this very specific silo of people that already understand themselves as you know, contributing to local and regional food systems development, looking beyond that realm so that we can pull more talent, more passion, and more innovation in.
Right. And I'm so grateful for you and our connection, because obviously you, like you just said, you have eyes on a lot of different things that are going on in the food system. And you also have the understanding of what's missing, what's needed. And what I'm really excited about diving into is the different tools that NAFSN is helping to put together that all folks across the food system can truly benefit from. And so I want to really go into the first tool, that which is ACRE, which stands for Agricluster Retention and Expansion. Can you start by telling us about ACRE and the process and how it helps farmers and their partners create a shared vision for their businesses?
Absolutely. So in short, ACRE is a strategic planning process that helps farmer-led groups work together in collaboration with other community stakeholders. And right now, we just created a training program, which is specifically designed for food and agricultural systems professionals to facilitate and guide the ACRE process. So through the facilitation training, we provide extensive instruction in using seven very specific tools to help farmer-led groups discover their shared histories, their shared values, and to come up with a shared opportunity or a vision, as it were, to help them and their stakeholder allies like packagers, production folk, food handlers, processors, distributors, retailers, the nonprofit sector, the municipal allies, all of those folks begin to work more collaboratively together on a project that will strengthen their value chain. ACRE is greatly informed by a wonderful ag economist named Philippe Genot out of France, who has worked with dozens of farmer-led groups on strategic planning to help them build value into their build value and collaboration into their value chains. And we see this a lot in France and Italy and other parts of Western Europe. And so ACRE is an attempt to kind of bring an American version of this facilitation work to our food systems development work here. What's key to the work that we're doing is the fact that it is history-based. It is values, shared values-based. And so while there is a competition, you know, with and among farmers in a specific value chain, we also understand that there is going to be shared knowledge. There is going to be shared values in a community. There are going to be shared histories within the community. And for that reason, we know that there's something from which we can build and help those groups build.
So how exactly does it work in terms of bringing together these stakeholders and the different people that work across the value chain? Is it an online component where people are coming together virtually to kind of discuss these sort of shared visions that they have for their businesses, or is it in a different format?
What NAFSIN is offering is a facilitation training. And so we are training facilitators from communities in which they, you know, in which they're already working with farmers to help farmers discover these collaboration opportunities. One thing that we know is that these opportunities already exist. Farmers understand that, for example, there may be an opportunity for them to collaborate on a wholesale opportunity. And so this facilitation, ACRE facilitation, allows them to think through establishing some shared values in then creating a project in which they, you know, will collaborate. They might want to collaborate around marketing, for example, but if you just start with the marketing program, you miss the opportunity to help them think through and discover those values that they have in common so that the values can be the basis from which then they build that marketing program. If we're just building a marketing program without understanding that these competitors, these competing farmers have a lot of motivations, their own motivations at stake, then we miss an opportunity for making that a more lasting, more sustainable effort, if that makes sense.
Yes, I think this is so needed. Given our capitalistic market, we have so much competition. And I think oftentimes people view each other as competitors when in reality, we can work collaboratively in the market. And I love this idea of transforming competitors into allies.
Yeah.
And into more resilient agriclusters is what you guys are calling it, which I love.
Yeah.
How does the ACRE facilitator contribute to the widespread adoption and successful implementation of the ACRE process? What does that involve?
Yeah, so the ACRE facilitator would be contracted by a farmer group, and it can be a farmer. It can be a farmer that becomes a facilitator as well, right? They contract with that ACRE facilitator to go through what we call the ACRE process. And that starts with a core group of people who understand a triggering event or an opportunity in their community that they would like to explore further. And it starts with the development of leadership, you know, among a farmer-led group. And then it brings in other stakeholders from within the community that will also benefit from, as well as contribute to and bolster that value chain. And they're brought together for a full-scale workshop that can take multiple days. From that workshop emerges a plan that is rooted in those shared histories and shared values. And then from there, the group works on implementation. So our training right now is focused on the facilitation of that bringing together.
Mm. Is there a list of criteria or eligibility for someone to become a ACRE facilitator, or skills that, you know, they need to have before kind of signing up for that?
The class will be, it's going through some beta testing right now. It's almost finished. And we do plan to put it through one more round of testing with some of our additional facilitators, you know, established facilitators this summer. And then it'll be available to anyone who would like to take the course. However, I will say that there is an additional layer for those who would like to become certified ACRE facilitators. The process is a little bit more extensive. We do ask that they show evidence of using it in community, using the ACRE process in community, and then taking an exam. The way that we are recruiting ACRE facilitators right now is reaching into the facilitation community that currently exists in local and regional food systems. But our goal is to grow a community of practice, more people who have these skills and the ability to work with farmer-led groups.
I think that's such a great idea. I come across so many folks that identify themselves as connectors and, you know, want to take that lead, want to be the facilitator. And I think there's a term I discovered in grad school called a weaver, you know, that weaves between different sectors and types of people within the food system. And I think that this is such a great opportunity for folks like that who want to fulfill that role and that, you know, the gap that we have for making that happen. So I want to also go into another really exciting tool that you guys are working on, the Community Agriculture Resiliency Audit Tool, which also is called CARROT. Yeah. Can you tell us what inspired the development of CARROT? How does it assist communities in identifying strengths, gaps, and areas of concern in their food systems?
NAFSN redirected the efforts of an existing all-volunteer working group. It was comprised of approximately a dozen food systems professionals with expertise in land use, planning, agricultural marketing, distribution, extension education, nutrition, public health. I mean, you name it, we were able to pull these incredible folks together to help communities better prepare for future food supply chain disruptions and their associated ripple effects on community quality of life. And so as a result, in the spring of 2022, this group brought a draft version of the CARROT tool to fruition. And we are still at the point where we're finalizing that tool for communities to use to do those self-assessments.
That's really cool. I think, you know, I've worked with various food organizations and businesses throughout the COVID pandemic, and it's really been tough on a lot of the folks in this field and trying to pick back up where they were pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And having a tool to essentially identify the different areas, the strengths, the gaps, and areas of concern is a very valuable tool to have in this field. And I'm wondering, what are some of the key metrics or indicators used in CARROT to assess the resilience of community food systems?
That is a great question. CARROT is delivered with core central themes. The first one being agricultural and ecological sustainability. We are looking at indicators for community health, for community self-reliance, for disruptive and democratic leadership. We're looking at indicators focused on the farmer and the food makers, on food justice, and on place-based economics. So from these seven core themes, where a whole bunch, hundreds of indicators emerge.
That's incredible. Do you think that this tool is going to be available for any food systems community and help drive forward positive change? And how do you think they can do that with this tool?
I do. So the tool will be free to use for anyone in any community. We would like to connect people. NAFSA would like to connect communities with experts who can help guide these communities in doing the assessment if needed. But first, what we would like to do is create a training around using the tools. And so right now we're onboarding some pilot communities interested in helping us discover best practices for first doing the assessment using the CARAT tool, and then second, identifying gaps and weaknesses and resilience to then address. That is really the goal of CARAT. It is a tool to help communities have these conversations together.
Right. And I know, understanding that there's been a pilot phase, a testing phase, and it being done at the Indiana University, mm-hmm. have there been any initial findings or feedback that you've discovered from the beta testing, and or any surprising discoveries or areas of improvement that you guys have identified?
Yes, it went quite well when we beta tested it in Indiana. I would say that one thing that we did discover is that we were using the term jurisdiction. Does the jurisdiction have a policy that supports A? Does the jurisdiction feature a program that supports B, C, and D, right? For example. And what mm-hmm. we discovered is that it's not always easy to define what we mean or what anyone means by jurisdiction. And so obviously we know that communities are strongest when the municipality has invested in its own community food systems, but often that's not yet the case. Sometimes you'll see programs that are quite strong in community, but maybe only within still the nonprofit realm, for example. Or maybe there's a really great program over on this side of the county, but it doesn't touch the other side of the county, for example. And so this tool allows for the community to explore those nuances of where their programs, their policies, and their practices are really benefiting the community and where they are not.
So it sounds like a very dynamic tool in the sense that it's addressing kind of so many different aspects of an organization or a community.
Yeah.
And I really like that it touches on all of those different things, because I feel like oftentimes there are certain tools or programs that food system organizations can utilize, but don't really encompass all of these various factors. And I think this sounds like a very well thought out, comprehensive tool that's really addressing all of those things.
Thank you. I also think that it depends what group initiates the audit. So for example, I'm talking right now with a county in North Carolina that would like this audit to be initiated by community health workers. And so when you think about the lens that they bring to the work, as well as the network and connections that they bring to the work, they're going to discover both gaps and strengths in their system that someone who brings a lens from agriculture would not. I think that's so powerful, right? So there's no end to the audits that a community can do from a public health perspective or community health perspective, from an agricultural perspective, from a business development and rural economic business development perspective. Ideally, you're bringing all of those voices into the room eventually, but you do start somewhere. And by starting somewhere and acknowledging the lens and lenses that you start with, the tool is designed to help you think beyond your own lens. That makes sense.
Yes, definitely. I think that is very powerful in terms of having these various perspectives behind the audit and starting to identify certain factors, because I understand that we all come from various backgrounds, and I am coming to really appreciate that these various perspectives are extremely useful in identifying certain things that perhaps, you know, one of us in our group wouldn't identify. And so having that different ideas and ideologies surrounding things, and being able to identify pieces that some folks might have not even thought of, is very useful. So I'm wondering, how do the challenges that we discussed earlier get addressed, you think, by the agriculture retention and expansion process and the community agriculture resilience audit tool?
Oh, I'm so glad that you see that there is a connection there, because I also see that there is a really nice connection there where they can both be used in unison. So, of course, the audit tool establishes a baseline for a community. It helps them, gives them a map from which to then start addressing those gaps and those weaknesses. ACRE provides a facilitation for bringing all the voices into the room to look at opportunities for addressing those gaps and weaknesses. Neither of these tools is very specifically for implementation. Implementation is a whole other set of skill sets that's required to do this work. Nonetheless, between having a map, an audit, if you will, and then doing the facilitation work of bringing the voices into the room, and not only bringing them in, but including those shared values and those shared histories in the establishment of the strategic plan, the implementation is much easier to do from there, and it's much more likely to be viable and sustainable over time. So what we're seeing in NAFSIN, and I think that we see this across the board, is that we fail to do that pre-feasibility of that work, that relational work that is so important to then getting to the next level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, because it seems to me that a lot of organizations and leaders in this field have the capacity, they have the knowledge, they have a lot of potential. And oftentimes, it's really hard to identify some of the gaps and some of the areas that can be improved. And having something like this seems to be kind of a boost for some of these folks that are really trying to address resiliency, equity, and having, really sustainable ideas and organizations. So I'm really excited about these programs. And I'm wondering, for our listeners who are also interested, how can they get involved?
Oh, again, it's so easy to get involved with NAFSIN, and as you know, Lana, just give us an email and, look at our website, explore what's on our website already about ACRE and CARET, but ask to sit in on a working group of the work that we're doing together on these. This is work that we're doing as members of a volunteer-led association, and that's really important for everyone to understand. NAFSIN is very, very specifically member-led, and we're working on projects that matter to members.
That's wonderful. I want to end on one last thing, which is, what is your advice or insights that you would like to share with individuals who are really interested in pursuing a career in food systems or community development? How would you entice them to get started, or if they're already started, to, keep it going?
There is a need for people to bring hard skills that includes very specific experiences with platforms, for example, with an ability to work with finances, with very specific roles within fundraising and philanthropy. There is a need for more people with experience in various roles within technology, various roles within public health and healthcare. There is a real need for people with experience in working with insurance, for example, and social impact investments. All of those are hard skills. And what I see is that a lot of times people have those skills. They have bookkeeping skills, for example, but those bookkeeping skills were earned outside of food systems, or they have experience working with customers, but that experience maybe was done outside of food systems. Highlight that, highlight those skills, highlight those hard skills, and highlight those life skills, because I believe that we are at this time and place in food systems development where bringing those skill sets in from other silos is really what we need.
Thank you so much for highlighting that. I think that's really key for some folks listening, because I know plenty of people who feel that they, you know, have not worked specifically in agriculture, but really want to lend a hand. And so I appreciate you mentioning that. And as we conclude this enlightening episode, I really want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to you, Kim, for joining us today and shedding light on the incredible work being done by the North American Food Systems Network through your commitment to professional development, collaboration, and equity. NAFSN is paving the way for transformative change in our food systems. So thank you so much for your time today, Kim.
Thank you, Lana. Thank you so much.
To all of our listeners, we hope you found inspiration and valuable insights from Kim's experiences and the tools she shared with us today. Remember, we all have a role to play in creating a future where everyone has access to helpful, safe, and culturally diverse connections to food. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking conversations on Fresh Take. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, keep nourishing your mind and the world around you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Florida Organic Growers is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So to keep our content available and free to the public, we need your help. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen, and consider making a tax-deductible donation or become a sponsor. Learn more about our work and how you can become a sponsor from our website, www.foginfo.org.